Welcome to a podcast of Beyond the Book, a presentation of the not-for-profit Copyright Clearance Center. Copyright Clearance Center is the world's largest provider of copyright compliance solutions through a wide range of innovative licensing services and comprehensive educational programs for authors, publishers, and their audiences in academia, business, and research institutions. Become a fan of Beyond the Book on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Subscribe to the free podcast and never miss a program at www.beyondthebook.com.
We're in Boston for the IFRO AGM 2010. Looking forward to a program on Wednesday afternoon, IFRO Business Model Forum, Solutions for a Changing World. And joining me is the moderator for this afternoon's program, Mike Schatzkin, founder and CEO of the Idealogical Company. Mike, welcome.
Thanks very much.
It's good to see you. I see you again. We always enjoy chatting with you because you're looking ahead. That's your job, to look forward. And I guess what we want to talk about is this idea that in the past, or up until now, content was the solution. Now you're telling me there's a new solution. What do you mean by that?
Well, what I really mean is the content has always been part of the solution. So if you had a problem, a challenge, whatever it is, if you were a professional person, if you were a teacher trying to teach a class, or you're a professional person trying to get a bridge built, or you're a gardener trying to make your yard look prettier, that was a challenge. And in all of these cases, you needed content to address that challenge. But content was really only a part of addressing the challenge. So a teacher would requisition a textbook or assign a textbook, but the teacher still had to do lectures. The teacher still had to create tests. They have to diagnose whether people are learning from the textbook or not learning from the textbook. And what education publishers are seeing is that we're moving toward a world where the publisher or the provider is going to provide not just the content, but the entire environment of learning, including the testing, including figuring out how you would address problems that people have in learning. And the educational publishers and the professional publishers that I've talked to are well advanced in their thinking about the fact that content alone is not going to make the sale, that what's going to make the sale is something larger than the content, the solution, which includes software and includes applications of various kinds, and the content will have to fit within the solution. So the solution provider will be the gatekeeper, not the content provider.
Interesting. And if I understand you right, and we can use a bit more book publishing jargon, this form factor is going away. I think that's a critical piece of it. The solution, if you will, was the book at one point. The book is not the solution any longer.
Well, that's exactly right. And in fact, it's the form factor that protected content because it wasn't simple to put things into a book. And it required all kinds of skills. It required capital. It required infrastructure in order to be able to manage all that weight and ship it around and get it to people and take it back. And when we go to a more digital world, you no longer need all that stuff. And it makes it much easier for people who have the information and the ways to use the information to distribute it without all that baggage. And furthermore, one of the aspects of this is that because books are no longer required in order to deliver content, the barriers to entry for content have lowered dramatically. That means the price of content goes down, and because there's more of it and the supply grows faster than the demand, that means that it's not as good a business as it used to be. And that's why publishers are looking at what can I sell when I can't get as much money for the content as I used to.
And that wrapper that the book was in, you know, the binding, whatever you want to say, kept it protected in a fashion and kept it whole. Now that the wrapper goes away, the form factor is evaporated, we are moving from a book as a unit to new kinds of units.
Well, actually, I did a blog post about a month ago called The Unit of Appreciation and the Unit of Sale. And the dramatic It's much more dramatic in the music business and newspaper business that the unit of appreciation does not match the unit of sale, that no one wants all the songs on an album, and no one wants every article in a newspaper. And in fact, no one really wants every word in a textbook. Everybody does want every word in a novel, so that the unit of appreciation equals the unit of sale there. But you're absolutely right that the rapper protected the textbook. It's no longer protected, and in fact, what we're seeing through a whole bunch of models, including one from Macmillan, including Flat Earth Knowledge, is the ability of professors to put together, assemble the textbook that they want, which is a step in the direction that I'm talking about here.
Right. And so for the professor or the consumer, choice is a really critical element here, whereas before, choices were made for them, and then it was presented to them again in this package, take it or leave it.
Well, that's right. And because there was just a physical requirement of that. I mean, it wasn't a conspiracy, and it wasn't short-sightedness on the part of the record companies of the 1950s or the newspaper companies of the 1970s to do it this way. It was required to do it this way because of the limitations on physical stuff. Now, you see this in books now, too. Books sort of had to be of a certain length. I mean, you couldn't sell a book of 21 pages worth of stuff. It wouldn't bind. It wouldn't have a spine. It wouldn't be have a high enough price to be worth transacting in the supply chain. Now, if you have 21 pages of stuff you want to sell somebody, you make a Kindle book out of it, you charge 99 cents, and you can sell it. So I think that you're going to see shorter books than before, longer books than before, people mashing up their own books in ways that they never did before, all because it wasn't possible before, but it is now.
Right. Tremendous potential, and there are tremendous pitfalls, I suppose, too. At the IFRO AGM 2010, a gathering of publishers, authors, and the people who care about their business from around the world, what we're seeing happening in the U.S. publishing industry, it's happening everywhere.
Well, it will happen everywhere. It's happened faster in the United States in many cases because it's 300 million people with one language and one currency. And that is a tremendous advantage when you're talking about innovation, because innovation costs money, experiments cost money, the risk-reward ratio gets a lot more favorable if you can capitalize on your risk through 300 million people, which you can't in most other places in the world. I think you're seeing a lot of development in China. That's partly because China has a lot of money, but it's also because China also has a large country without a lot of borders separating people that speak the same language.
What about the lessons that you're hoping people can take away from this afternoon's program? And you've got some thoughts around licensing itself that are particularly important to this audience at IFRO. Tell us about those.
Well, I'm not sure I've got thoughts around licensing itself. I do have thoughts around the fact that publishers are going to need to understand their content at a granular chunk level in ways that they never did before. They're going to have to understand the content, and they're going to have to tag the content with metadata in order to enable it to be transacted at the chunk level. This is something that we're really just in the first stages of. I mean, publishers are adopting XML workflows and able to break out chapters, but that's not going to be nearly granular enough.
A question occurs to me because there is a critical point here, and that is publishers and authors trying to reassert their value in all of this, right? Authors, we hear, can now publish their own work, but if the kind of work you're talking about that publishers must take on, this tagging and organizing the data so it can flow in the right places and be accessible for people, that's a real value add.
It's a huge value add, and it actually hides a lot of other value adds. I mean, there has to be a taxonomy. You can't just chunk things any way you want to and tag them any way you want to.
Expect
anybody to find them. There has to be a logic, and in fact, a consistent nomenclature. And in fact, it's going to be necessary for publishers to cooperate if they're in a similar space in order to make the content interoperable with different platforms. And this is really one of the things that becomes very important as we go to the solutions world, because publishers who want their content to be able to be used within these solutions are going to have it tagged properly in the way that the solution provider needs it in order for that to happen.
What about authors then? What do they need to be keeping their eye on? I mean, it's already a big enough a job. I know myself, to be an author, to have to do the work of the writing. What else should authors be watching and being prepared to deliver to publishers or to deliver to whoever it is they want to make their work accessible?
I think the key thing for authors, as it is for everyone, is understand your audience. So first of all, that presupposes that you have an audience. So I think that there was a kind of author 40 or 50 years ago who was a sort of a polymath, a generalist, and they would learn about a subject and write about the subject and then learn about a different subject and write about a different subject. I think that kind of author is going to have a very, very hard time in the future.
The classic mid-list author.
The classic mid-list author. The classic professional author who really was the someone who could learn and then put it into words and explain it clearly, whatever the subject was. I think today...
A vanishing species.
I think that pretty much a vanished species. I think that today what's really important is for an author to understand their audience. Who are they writing for, and have that be a community, understand the community, know about the solutions that are being provided to the community, know about the aggregators who are pulling together material for that community, and address those. Now, this is not anything new. Authors have for years been trying to figure out, how do I put things in a form so a publisher will buy it? And so you have, you know, the book proposal, and what makes a good book proposal is not something that each author just thinks up for themselves. There's some established procedures, and there are ways to do it that are more likely to succeed than others, and authors that want to succeed learn how to do it that way. And I think that what you're going to see is a different environment where people, and particularly in trade publishing, people will not be acquiring book by book the way they used to. They'll be acquiring for an audience, and they'll be looking for holes that they need to fill in the information that they have. And that's another thing that an author will do in the future, is learn to look for those holes and address those holes.
Well before we close the conversation, Mike, and let you get ready for today's program, we're talking with Mike Schatzkin, CEO and founder of the Ideological Company, about a program for the IFRO AGM 2010 Business Models Forum, Solutions for a Changing World. It seems to me that what we need to talk about finally is the consumer, whether the consumer is the, you know, mom reading the book at home, or the professional finding and you know, using the content in the workplace. Why is the cloud, this thing we keep hearing about, so important to all of this?
Well, the cloud's important for a lot of reasons. The main reason the cloud's important is because it's where we're going to be storing all of our content and software and files, and we're going to do it because when we're in the cloud, it allows us to use any device. And that is, I think, something that future generations are going to look back and say, you had to carry your content around in something that cost weighed 3 pounds or 5 pounds or 7 pounds. I mean, it'll just strike them as absurd, and that you had to use your own computer, your own screen, or you couldn't use any screen that was lying around the lobby of the Marriott and get to your content. This will seem very, very strange when we get to a fully articulated cloud solution. So I think that the purpose of the cloud, or the main reason for the cloud, is that it frees people from having to carry around the weight of a hard drive, but also to be being tethered to a particular machine. But once all the content is in the cloud, it changes a lot of things. It makes piracy a lot more difficult because the content is served up each time to people with authorization. So that's one big change. And it also, I believe, will enable people to start licensing their own content. And I'm thinking about things like our health records. People use our health records for monetary gain. We don't get paid for that. I think in the future that we should be. People use our spending records for monetary gain. We should get paid for that. I think in the future we can be. So when you get to a cloud model where everything goes in and comes out by license, it opens up all kinds of business models that just aren't possible without it.
Well, Mike, that's the best thing I've heard all day. We can get paid for spending.
Well, we can get paid for what we own. We get paid for what proprietarily belongs to us. That seems fair.
I think you're right. I'm all for getting paid for that. We've been chatting with Mike Schatzkin, the CEO and founder of the Ideological Company, moderating a program for the IFRO AGM 2010, the Business Models Forum, Solutions for a Changing World. This is Chris Keneally for Copyright Clearance Center. Thanks for listening.
Beyond the Book is an educational presentation of the not-for-profit Copyright Clearance Center, with conferences and seminars featuring leading authors and editors, publishing analysts, and information technology specialists. Beyond the Book is the premier source for knowledge on the latest business issues facing today's dynamic publishing industry, from initial research to final publication and beyond.